I want to go back to our series of lessons on what we call the spectacular workings of God, or we just call it just spectacular. And what a blessing these messages have been. I want to go over a few things tonight and then just add something little. I pray that as Pastor Tino has already led us in prayer, that the Lord will grant us understanding, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened so we can see the things that the Lord has for us in His Word. I just desire so much that these words would actually be a living testament in our lives, because that's what the Bible says the Word of God is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a living, walking, breathing testament. That means our lives and our stories should be testifying to the truthfulness, the efficacy of the Word of God. And the gospel is the gospel of power. I know there's so many things that call our attention as believers in the church today. There's so many things that we desire, so many things that we are attracted by, things that we long for. But saints of God, when you get down to the root of it, the bottom line is that the gospel is the power of God and the power of Christ unto salvation. And if you take the power out of the gospel, there's nothing else that really, really does matter. Nothing at all counts for anything. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is how our lives get changed. The gospel is how we came to Christ in the first place. Regardless of how you were saved, when and where you were saved, all of us had a history and we had a past that was rooted in the world. And Satan, who the Bible calls the God of this world, really exercised dominion over us. We didn't know it at the time, but we lived at his beck and call. We basically, most of what we did, just about everything we did, we were almost like remotely controlled beings, because the enemy, who is the God of this world, just had us, you know, programmed to do things many times that we didn't even think we were doing, we didn't know we were doing. And a lot of times, things that glorified him and things that weakened us and diminished our potential and limited our destiny, rather than things that glorify God and maximize our potential and free us. But praise God, the Bible says that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And it says, if the Son of God, that's the power of the gospel through the Son of God, if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. When Jesus came into our lives, all of us received freedom. That's when we became Christians. That's when we started being called believers. It's because something happened in our lives. We just didn't change we didn't change parties. We didn't change our social affiliations. We didn't change political parties. We didn't change, because sometimes if you observe in the lives of a lot of believers or churches and things like that, sometimes it almost feels like really all it was is just a shift in our social affiliation, our social leanings, a shift in our political affiliations, a shift in the things we prioritize, a shift in our view of government. The Word of God and salvation will eventually affect every area of our lives. But it is unfortunate that sometimes what seems to be the primary effect of what many people call Christianity is really more actually some of these superficial things. And then in our lives, we still don't have the life of God. We don't have the joy of the Lord in our lives. I read somewhere in Nehemiah where it said, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And one literal translation said, the stronghold of joy. He called it the stronghold of joy. And I know I stopped when I read that. Of course, first of all, I marked it in my Bible because it spoke very strongly to me. I think that's Nehemiah chapter 8. And I think it's verse 11, I think it is. There is actually let me give it to you so you can at least write it down and then you get to check it later on. It's verse 10, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. But this is the Amplified. It says, Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord, and be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. Remember when I read that just a few weeks ago, I've read it before, but in reading it again, it just kind of jumped out of the pages of the Bible to me. And, you know, I thought to myself, how many believers do I really know? Believers, ministers, pastors, preachers, churchgoers, Bible carriers, tongue-talking, conference attending, DVD, CD, listening. How many of those believers do I really know who I can say the joy of the Lord is evident in their lives and is a stronghold in their lives? I'm telling you, there are very few. You look around you. You look around you and you count. Sometimes if we look at believers, it almost seems like we lost joy when we came into the church. Like we lost our joy, we lost our essence of life, of living. It's like we no longer, there's no more pep in our steps. I mean, when we were under the dominion of the enemy, the God of this world, when we served Satan with all our strength and he had us on a string, remotely controlling us and directing the activities of our life, it seemed like we had so much more joy. Life was so much more fun. Like, you know, we couldn't get enough of life. But then we get saved and we switch our affiliations and maybe start going to church, maybe change our confession, the things we say and our friendships. And all of a sudden, it's like a dryness just takes over our lives. I mean, I look around and I try to count over the years how many believers could I actually say were a testament of the abundant life. There are not many of them that I know. And I know I don't know too many believers, but I know quite a number. I don't know all the believers in the world, but I know quite a few. And those who I don't know, I've seen, I've read, I've all of that I've interacted with, all just kind of from a distance observed. There are not too many who you can say, you look at them and the joy of the Lord is the strength or the stronghold of their lives. Actually, to be quite honest with you, that scripture says, it says, be not grieved and be not depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. To be quite honest with you, a lot of believers that I have seen actually act like, you know, they are grieved. They act like they are depressed. They are unhappy. They are carrying this heavy load. It's like life is so burdensome. Life is so full of troubles and trials. And I know somebody's going to say, hey, Pastor, but don't you know the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous? Yeah, that's part of the verse. But then don't skip out the other, the second part of the scripture, which says, but out of them, the Lord delivers them out. He delivers them out of them all. He preserves his life. Not one of his bones is broken. Yeah, and some people say, oh, Pastor, but haven't you read the Bible says in the world you shall have tribulation. Tribulation means a lot of trouble. Yeah, I know that. I get it. I've had my share of them and continue to attack many that still come. Trouble, tribulation is a reality if you live on this earth. The only way we won't have trouble, the only way we won't have problems is we leave this earth and go on to heaven. As long as we're here, there'll be trouble. But that is just a part of the story, though. Because then the second part of that verse in John chapter 16, verse 33, the Bible says, Jesus said unto the believers, but be of good cheer. That's what he said. He said, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. That's what he said in John chapter 16 and verse 33. He said, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. In fact, he said to them at the earlier part of the verse, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. So the scripture began by the Lord promising us that he has created and he has bequeathed an inheritance of peace. And this peace isn't just like an absence of trouble, but the Bible describes it as a perfect peace, confidence, and tranquility, safety, comfort, strength, rest of mind, rest of the soul, rest of emotions. That's what abundant life is. Jesus said these things in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you. And he's talking to his disciples, believers. He wasn't talking to the world. He was saying to you, the child of God, to you, the believer, when you receive Christ, part of what you receive as a part of the package of blessings that he bequeathed to you as your inheritance is the peace of God. The peace of God. Confidence, joy, tranquility. Not the absence of trouble, but authority and confidence and this ability to be undaunted and to be unmoved even in the face of difficulties. So I've given you my peace. It says in the world, if you look in that scripture, in the world you have tribulation. This is John 16:33. And in the Amplified, in the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Yes, I get that. And as long as we're in this world, there'll be trouble, there'll be trials, there'll be distress, there'll be tribulation. But notice that there's no depression there. It didn't say, and by the way, some of this will make you depressed. You will get depressed. No. It says trouble, distress, frustration, trials. Notice all these things are forces on the outside of a believer. All these things are forces that the enemy uses to attack the lives of believers. Distress and trouble, disappointment, situations not going right, things coming up that we didn't plan for, events and developments in situations of life that we expected to be different, but they turned out different. All of these things are on the outside, though. But what he said, he bequeathed to us this peace, this joy, this life, this confidence, this authority, this dominion, that's on the inside. That's why depression can get there. Because in order for a child of God to actually become grieved inside, for a child of God to actually become compressed inside, for them to actually become squeezed up and diminished inside and depressed and tired of life and tired of living, that means all those things on the outside, the distress, the frustration, the trial, the tribulation, actually got from the outside and got on the inside. In order for a believer to get depressed, in order for a believer to quit, in order for a believer to become dominated by the world, it means those things, those forces in the world have to get from the outside, from the world where they are, where Jesus says in the world, they are in the world. Those things have to get out from the world and get inside the believer and dominate the believer. Oh, no. But the life, Jesus said, no. He says, but be of good cheer. This is the latter part of that scripture. He said, but be of good cheer. Take courage. I like that. Take courage. Now, that's on the inside. That is, dominate the trouble. Dominate the attack. Dominate the challenge. Rather than being dominated by it, he said, take courage, be confident, be certain, certain. How many believers do you know that are really certain about life, about God's will for them, about God's goodness and God's plan for their prosperous future, for their blessing, for their destiny to be complete? How many believers do you know that are that certain? Undaunted, he says, be undaunted. He says, for I have overcome the world. Glory to God. He says, I've overcome the world. So yeah, all of those things are on the outside. They are in the world. And as long as you are in the world, you will encounter them. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. Be of good cheer. Be confident, be certain, be undaunted, because I have overcome the world. Glory be to God. Would you make that confession of faith with me wherever you are listening to me tonight? Say, Jesus has overcome the world. Therefore, I am of good cheer. Amen. Say that one more time. Jesus has overcome the world. Therefore, I am of good cheer. Yes. You can be of good cheer. Yeah, in the face of the tribulation, in the face of the trial. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. He says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And watch this, I have deprived it of power. I have deprived it of power to harm you. Notice, he didn't say, I have stopped it from throwing things at you. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I have stopped it from creating challenging situations around your life. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I have stopped it from attacking you. I have stopped it from trying to take away the things that I've given to you. He didn't say that. But what he said is, I have already deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Glory to God. I've conquered it for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. So even in the face of obstacles, even in the face of the troubles, the trials, the difficulties of life, he said, be of good cheer. Because I have deprived these forces that come from the world, I've deprived them of the power to harm you. You cannot be harmed. You cannot be hurt. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to throw at you. Jesus already deprived it of his power to harm you. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. We've already said that. We've learned that. We've discussed that. The power of faith, the power to win, how to guarantee victory. All of we've talked about that in the earlier part of the year. But it's worth re-mentioning. We need to be reminded about it, that we're not undercomers, we're overcomers. Jesus has already overcome the world, and he has given us the power and the ability to live in victory and dominion. So that's where our joy comes from. Hallelujah. That is where our joy comes from. The joy of being a believer comes, that strength and the stronghold of joy that Nehemiah was talking about, Ezra the priest was talking about in the book of Nehemiah, that stronghold of joy, which Jesus was talking about when he said, be of good cheer, that stronghold of joy comes from being a believer, from receiving the life of God, from receiving the inheritance of peace, the inheritance of joy, the inheritance of life, the inheritance of favor from the Lord. Do you know, as a child of God, do you know, let me, this might shock you, but do you know, as a child of God, you really should never be defeated? Do you know that? Now, I'm not saying that we haven't all failed, and I'm not saying we haven't all been defeated at different times in life, at different times by circumstances, by situations. I'm not saying that we haven't all stumbled when we thought we should win, that we haven't all fallen on our faces. I'm not saying that we haven't all crawled into our bedrooms, cried secretly because we got overwhelmed by things we were dealing with. I'm not saying that we haven't all done that. But I'm saying that, do you know, even while we were doing that, the potential to win existed for you? Do you know that? Existed for me? You can win every battle. You can dominate life. You can conquer. You can conquer. You can conquer. You can conquer. As a child of God, you can conquer. And you can have joy. You should be free to live. You should live a life of joy. You should not be depressed. You shouldn't be carrying this heaviness and this burden and these yokes all over the place. Your life shouldn't be so so flat, like, you know, just spikeless. And you don't need drugs or alcohol to put spikes in your life. You already have life. You have the abundant life, the Zoe life of Christ. Now we're talking about experiencing the spectacular. The spectacular is probably even a much higher level for most people than even just enjoying abundant life. Enjoying abundant life is supposed to be a given. It's supposed to be normal lifestyle. It's supposed to be normal experience. Well, but many believers are not even enjoying abundant life. We ask many times, like, we were better off in the world. We wish we were back there. We envy people in the world. We wish we had what they had. We wish we had, quote unquote, some of the freedoms or some of the liberties. But they don't have liberties. They don't have freedom. We do in Christ. We are saved. We have salvation, soteria. So talking about spectacular, the Lord wants to do spectacular in our life. That's assuming that we are living abundant life. We're living abundant. Abundant life is the experience of our lives. That day by day, week by week, month by month, year after year, we are actually enjoying the abundant life of Christ. That the Lord is good to us and we're happy, we're thankful. We're thankful. I'm not saying everything in life and every day of your year, things are going to happen every day where you say, oh, I want to thank God for this, or I want to thank God. But there would always be things for you to be thankful for. If you look in the right place, there will always be things for you to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the abundant life is supposed to be basic. It's the bottom line of a Christian experience. That we have joy, we have life, we have peace. We have on the inside the authority, the more than conqueror. The ability to stand, to overcome. The ability to walk through difficulties with our heads held up high. Amen. Amen. And our homes and our lives should be full of this joy, should be reflecting this joy. This joy should not only come when we turn on the TV. This joy should not only come when we go to the movies. This joy should not only be there when we do things on the external, on the outside. No, this joy should be a constant experience that a believer has. Why? Because it's on your inside. Way back then, I remember we used to sing a song, an old gospel song. Yes, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. This joy. Where did this joy come from? This joy came from the Lord. It's a part of the inheritance that he gave to us. It's a part of the abundant life package that the Lord gave to us, that Jesus died to give to us. We all just celebrated Easter. We celebrated Passover. We celebrated Good Friday. We celebrated Palm Sunday. We celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Do you know all of those speak mainly to the victory and the abundant life that Jesus died to purchase for us? Do you know that the significance of all of those things that are just those seasons, those times, those many people call them holidays, they're not holidays for us, they're not just sacraments, they're not just things that we mark. These are landmarks, they are spiritual landmarks in on our Christian walk. Without those, our salvation would not be a reality today. But do you know the essence of all of those things was to give us abundant life? Jesus paid the price. When he said, I've conquered the world for you, that's when he did it. He did it on the cross when he said, it is finished. And he said to them, I thirst. The basic human need, the most basic human need is the need for water. And on the cross, Jesus didn't say, I'm hungry. Jesus didn't say, I need money. Jesus didn't say, I need pleasure. Jesus didn't say, I need to go on a vacation. No. On the cross, Jesus said, I thirst. The most basic of all human needs. The most basic. We all know scientifically, outside of the air that we breathe, the most basic human need is water. You can only go so many days without water and survive. And Jesus on the cross took on that most basic human need and said, I thirst. He took it on for you and for me. So that in taking on the most basic human need that we would ever experience, he gave us the victory and supernatural supply of every other need that would ever come into our lives. Glory be to God. Because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross, that Good Friday, have you ever asked yourself, why do they call it Good Friday? Why can someone be dying and suffering and all of that, and they call it Good Friday? Yeah, because the death was not the final thing that happened that night. The final thing that happened that night was Jesus said, it is finished. He paid the price. He conquered sin and death. He conquered sickness on the cross. He took on our most basic human needs. He said, I thirst. And because of that, your future and your life should lack for no good thing. Jesus already paid the price for that. Your life should lack for no good thing. He took on the most basic need of thirst for you on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, your life should lack for no basic thing. So someone will say, oh, Pastor, well, that is why I feel so depressed, because my life lacks for all those basic things. Actually, no, you have the order the wrong way around. The reason you think you lack all those basic things is because you have refused to receive the inheritance that Jesus gave to you, which is on your inside. That life, that joy comes from your inside, and it oozes out and it overflows. Hallelujah. That's why in John chapter 10 and verse 10, one of the most popular scriptures in the New Testament, especially if you read it in the Amplified Version, Jesus said, he said, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Hallelujah. The thief comes to steal. Yeah, we don't deny that fact. We don't deny that reality. Jesus said, but I came. And remember, what Jesus came to do was finished on the cross. Glory be to God. The life he came to give us was delivered to us on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this life that overflows, he says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Just the fact that you have the life of Christ within you, Just the fact that you are saved, just the fact that you are secure in your salvation, just the fact that you know God as your Heavenly Father, you know Jesus as your Savior, you know the Holy Spirit as your strengthener and your comforter, on a daily basis, you should have a lifestyle and an experience of joy. Regardless of what is thrown at you, yes, sometimes you will have things you have to deal with. Some of those things will seem quite overwhelming, might seem quite overpowering. Some of those things might seem really difficult to even navigate your way around. They might seem to be obstacles on your way where you don't know how to get around them. But I'm telling you that if you allow the joy, the life, the Zoe life of Christ that he died to purchase for you and for me, if you allow that life to be a reality inside of your heart, and if you nurture that life every day, if you take the simple steps by keeping a healthy relationship with your Heavenly Father, by walking in love and obeying his instructions, by allowing the life of God to permeate your life, by allowing the Word of God to form a bulwark in your heart, by allowing the instructions that the Holy Spirit gives you, allowing those to become the compass and the direction of, just by doing those basic things, you will continually, constantly have this overflowing life that you will enjoy. Then, yeah, because you have this life, then you'll do a few things. You may say, oh, hey, let's go have fun there. Oh, hey, let's go on a vacation, or let's just go do something just because we want to do it. Let's go have some fun over there, or let's hook up with this person and have a good time with them, or let's go do something in our church, in our ministry, or let's go do something in the kingdom of God, or let's go do something somewhere else that is not even related with the kingdom of God, but where as a Christian you can shine and you can enjoy the life of God. All of that then follows that life that you receive that comes with joy, that comes with peace, that comes with dominion inside of you. And then the basic needs which Jesus died to meet, part of why he died. Remember it says, we're told in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He was reminding us of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. The Amplified says, for you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, watch this, and abundantly supplied. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He says, even though he was so very rich, yet for your sake, he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty, you might become enriched and abundantly supplied. So we'll just learn that about what he did on the cross. He became so very poor that he took on the most basic human need. Look around the world today. Everywhere in the world where not-for-profit organizations and philanthropists and generous nations are going out to try to invest for basic infrastructure, the things like maybe create boreholes and good, clean, living water for people. Those places represent the poorest of the world. That's why you have all of these programs. You have all of these charitable organizations talking about, we just want to make water available for these little children or for these people in this village. And they'll talk about what they are doing to just to make water. That water is the most basic human need. Glory to God. God didn't make air. He didn't make air so precious. Anywhere you go in the world, you can breathe the same air. Well, some of it is polluted. We know that, depending on what's going on in the environment. But the Lord has been gracious to humanity. He didn't make us have to walk for air. He didn't make us have to walk, because you know you can only stay so long, a few minutes without air. But right after air is water, the most basic human need. I just said to you, the poorest parts of this world are those parts of the world where even things as basic as clean, healthy living water is not available to the inhabitants of those lands. That's to show you how basic the human need for water is. And that's what Jesus took on the cross. He said, I thirst. I thirst. And guess what? When he said, I thirst, instead of them giving him water, they still denied him of that water. Water is supposed to be extremely cheaply available. Somebody still went and took vinegar instead of giving him water. You go read that story. Read that story when Jesus hung on the cross. Instead of giving him water, somebody went and took a hyssop, a hyssop, and dipped it, a sponge, dipped it in vinegar. Sour, bitter vinegar. And put it on his tongue. That wouldn't even have quenched, satisfied his thirst. But that still underscores what he did, how he became so very poor, so that we could become so very rich, so that we can enjoy the abundant life of Christ and that our lives can be abundantly supplied. They gave him vinegar, sour, bitter. Jesus took all the sourness of life for you so that your life can be fresh every day. Hallelujah. He took the bitterness of that vinegar so that your life can be sweet every day. Jesus, he did it all. Hallelujah. He did it all. He took the thirst. He took the brokenness. He took the sourness. He took the bitterness. He was never sick, but on the cross, they pierced his side. They broke his body on the cross. They whipped him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They took his robes and split it amongst themselves and deprived him of his own clothing. He became so very poor. So very poor. None of his disciples were even there to carry his cross. They had to get this man. So you come and you carry his cross. He gave up everything he had, even though he was so very rich. Yet for you and for me, he became so very poor. Why? Just so that we can live an average life, just so that we can talk about how difficult the world is, just so that we can talk about how powerful the devil is, just so that we can talk about how nobody understands my own peculiar situation and how so difficult my own life, my own experience is so different from everybody. Is that why he did all of that? No. No, he did all of that so that you and me, you and I, can become just like him before he did all of that. So very rich, well supplied, having the basic needs of our life supplied, having joy and peace and dominion and victory, and then giving this life to others. You talk about having a stronghold of joy. You talk about having so much joy, so much life that it's overflowing. It's overflowing to the point where you can share that with people. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters online with me tonight, most believers don't even have enough. They have it, but they are just not even living in enough of that joy where they can share it with anybody. Where they can, it's
they don't even have enough of it where you say it's overflowing, where they can give it out. They're just as depressed as the world is. They don't have a smile, don't have a word of encouragement. Don't take this as a knock. This is not a knock. I'm not trying to make you feel bad or me feel bad or any of that. No, I'm just trying to show us from the word of God tonight that all these things Jesus died to make available to us. That's why we're believers. That's why we're sitting around the word of God tonight. Jesus himself said, he said, I told you these things. I have told you these things so that in me you may have the things that I've made available for you. So I'm just pointing us, redirecting us to his word so that those things that he died to purchase for us can become a new reality in our very lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that we can walk and enjoy abundant life. Do you know most believers don't even have enough for themselves, let alone give it away? Enough joy, enough peace. A lot of believers, if you know, actually, I think people in the world have more joy than they do, have more peace than they do, have more life than they do. I mean, you sometimes look at people in the world and they're having a good time and all of that. Yeah, I know it's usually based on things on the outside, maybe what they have access to, how much money they have, the set of privileges that they enjoy, relationships they have, things that have been given to them, all of that. Yeah, I understand that. But do you know, there's none of those things that the world has, anyone has in the world, that makes them happy, that you as a child of God have not been given by Christ. Not one. All of those things are invested within us. Hallelujah. So when the psalmist said in Psalm 126 that the Lord wants to do the spectacular in our lives, he's already assuming we're enjoying basic abundant life. So then when you now add spectacular to basic abundant life, boy, that life is just so good. That life is so good, it's so desirable. I mean, it's so good, people want to sniff around it. People want to get some of it. That life is so good, it's the envy of the world. The world has to envy us. They say, wow, I wonder why they are always so happy. I wonder why they are always so full of confidence. I wonder why they are always positive in their talking. I wonder why they believe everything is gonna turn out exactly the way they think. Well, the reason for all of that is because we have received the basic abundant life that Jesus came to give to us. And then now we are expecting to walk in the spectacular of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This session has gone slightly different from the way I planned tonight, but praise God, it's good. It's good. Let me just read Psalm 126 and close out. That's where I was supposed to be going. And talking about the spectacular workings of God. It says in Psalm 126, verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathens, the Lord has done great things for them. Remember, it's the Lord that has done these great things for them. It's not them. They didn't do it. Like I said in our past services this Sunday in both churches, sometimes you listen to believers and, you know, they go on and on about what they did. On and on. They want you to know how much what they did and how much they did. And then somewhere there, as almost as a footnote, they say, oh, but I know the Lord helped me. Oh, the Lord helped me. Don't get me wrong. The Lord helped me. But I did. And I did that. And I did this. And I did. You, sometimes believers ought to take a step back and listen to themselves talk, because that shows a lot of where their confidence comes from. I've made it a point of duty. I want to encourage you to do the same. Go overboard in giving God the glory. Go overboard in every situation of your life. Any good thing that happens to you, go overboard in giving God the glory and the credit. Don't ever stand there and say, yeah, you know, I did this and then I did that. And then, yeah, yeah, the Lord did help me. Praise God. The Lord did help me. But I did. No, you didn't. The Bible says the Lord has done great things for them. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one who drew the plan. He's the master plan. He's the one who orchestrated everything to come together. He's the one who put different things in place. He's the one that made sure that even those that were resistant to this plan had no choice and they had no option. They had to release to us what the Lord said needed to come to us. They had to yield themselves to the plan of God. It's all because of what the Lord did. It's all because of what the Lord did. So the Lord has done great things. Our mouth was filled with laughter. We were like them that dream. We were like them that dream. Our tongue was filled with singing. That's joy. That sounds like joy to me. That sounds like the stronghold of joy. Where there's laughter, where there's singing. Hallelujah. And then he said, the Lord has done great things for them. It's the Lord. I want you to go overboard. To the point where if somebody compliments your shoes, before you tell them anything about where you got it or how you got it, it's the Lord. And the Lord is beautifying me. Somebody compliments your hair, it's the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the Lord. He renews my youth like the eagles. Sometimes I, you know, that just flows out of my heart. Just flows out of my heart. I think, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for renewing my youth as the eagles. Thank you for replenishing your strength in my life. Thank you for being the strength of my life. Thank you for being my high tower, my strength and my high tower. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being my bulwark. Thank you. Thank you for being my safe place. Thank you. No wonder that psalmist said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. What psalm is that? I think it's Psalm 103. I'm not sure. Let's see if I can find it for you and close out here. Glory to God. I'm so thankful. Sorry, none of this was planned. This was not my plan for this service tonight, but I'm so thankful how he led us. No, it's not 103, maybe 107. Let me see. 105, 106, 107. I have to find the scripture. No, that's give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Where is this scripture? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is. Bless the Lord and all my soul, and forget not. Is it 103? Forget not all his benefits. That's it. Psalm 103. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. He satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the Lord who does that. The Lord who gives you a fresh vision. It's the Lord who puts a pep in your step. It's the Lord who helps you wake up. You spring up in the morning and you, no matter what is going on, no matter what you went to bed with, you throw up your arms in there and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Father, for keeping me alive. Thank you, God. I went to bed last night. I woke up again this morning. So many people didn't make it, but here I am. Here I am. Hallelujah. Here I am. Hallelujah. It's the Lord who does that, folks. It's the Lord. It's the Lord who heals our sicknesses, lingering diseases and lingering symptoms and lingering physical discomforts and all of that. And supernaturally, the Lord carries us through those difficult times. And at the end of it, he releases us from them. He releases us from those yokes. Hallelujah. It's the Lord who does that. It's the Lord who does that. In our services, let me close. In our services on Sunday, I talked about this pastor couple who I was privileged to meet 10 years ago in Louisville, Kentucky. And a text message that I received just this past Saturday. A woman in her mid-50s, a man maybe early 60s, been looking for the fruit of the womb for more than 30 years, have expended everything, spent everything they needed to spend in some of the best institutions in Europe and America. Done all of the medical, everything, all of those, the big high-tech fertility reproductive, medical reproductive industry. Did all of that. And yet nothing. But suddenly, just this past week, the mother, the woman in her mid-50s, is a mother of triplets. Do you know what triplets mean? Three babies at once. Three babies at once. Three. That's 1, 2, 3 at once. It's the Lord who did that. It's the Lord who there's nothing wrong with all the other things that they had done. Maybe they even got help even this time from a medical institution. Maybe they didn't share that detail with me. Maybe that's part, I don't know, but I know they did that 10 years ago. They had done that 20 years ago and it produced nothing. And suddenly, they are parents of triplets. Can you imagine those people standing somewhere to testify over this miracle? And then they'll say, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. The Lord helped me a little bit, but I did. Can you imagine that? No, it's impossible. They wouldn't even dare. They wouldn't even dare. The message that he sent that I shared with the two services where I ministered this past Sunday. Look at that. Hello, sir. Join us to praise our miracle working God. My wife safely gave birth to triplets. Mother and children are doing fine. Pastor and Pastor Mrs. AK. Glory to God. The Lord. Notice, he says, our miracle working God. It's the Lord who did it. It's the Lord who did it. It's not them. I know it wasn't them. I knew that 10 years ago. Go out of your way and give God the glory. Give him the credit. Give him the credit. If somebody compliments your dress, tell them it's the Lord. The Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord who is beautifying me. If somebody says something nice about your house, your home, your car, your business, your work, anything about your life, quickly, quickly, quickly. Don't even waste time. Say, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. I mean it. Don't just say, mean it. It's the Lord, because you know it's the Lord. Give him the credit. Give him the glory. And let the abundant life of Christ, let it flow out of you continually. And let it impact the world around you. Let the people who know you, let them be able to see this testament of the abundant life flowing through you. Don't be a secret believer. Don't be a secret undercover agent, Christian. Like, we only know is the Lord when you are in church. That's when you lift your voice. But everywhere else, and you never testify anything to the Lord. No. Let the world know. Let them hear your voice like the psalmist. Let them know it's the Lord and forget not his benefits. Brother, sister, and the abundant life of Christ will become your daily experience. Life, joy, peace will become your daily experience. And then spectacular things will happen just as the Lord has ordained for you. Do you receive that word?